Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This headline here, typical for media coverage of the election, Fox News dominates. And I'd like to talk about that in a moment. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-INYART. I got an email from a Jim Gromer. Gromer? Is that right? G-R-O-M-E-R, who's upset that we urge people to vote against Ken Buck. And the bad news is Michael Bennett won. The good news is that Ken Buck lost. That's the good news. I'll read Jim's email. We'll go through that. So the reports are that Fox News dominated the election night coverage. And really, that's not true. They did well compared to MSNBC and CNN. Fox had about 7 million viewers in an average time slot in prime time. And the audience for traditional liberal TV news swamps Fox. Like if you look at ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and MSNBC, they add up to over 20 million, 22 million news viewers on election night. And that more than triples what Fox pulls in. And so, you know, ABC, NBC, and CBS, they don't do news all night. That's true. The other cable news networks do. But it's incorrect to think that Fox reaches more people than the more liberal TV news does. That's incorrect. A few years back, I was interviewing a Fox News analyst. Who was it? I think it was Bernie Goldberg. Yeah, that's right. Bernie Goldberg. He had a book out about people who are ruining America. And I made the argument that he was just as responsible for the vulgarity in our country as the people that he condemned in his book. At any rate, I remember a discussion about the opportunity for growth of conservative news networks. And I seem to recall that conversation was during that interview with Bernie back in 2005 or 2006. And he was saying if CNN or MSNBC started reporting accurately, meaning more conservatively, then they would grow their audiences. And I disagreed because when they put more conservative hosts on those networks, they don't get larger audiences. Because what they're doing primarily is diluting a minority audience segment. So there's already a minority audience segment out of the total TV viewing audience, and they watch conservative news. They think they're watching it. They watch Fox News. And so if we created another network exactly like Fox News, that doesn't mean that it too would get the same audience each night. But to the extent it became popular, it would shrink the Fox audience. And of course, this is not a zero-sum game, and you can convert liberals into conservatives, but most people would rather just watch entertainment than news. And even when you had someone who was especially good at converting people, namely Jesus Christ, with his perfect outreach and arguments, even then the Lord only converted a minority of the population. So anyway, I think that Bernie Goldberg made that point, saying that, well, if they became conservative, you know, we have room for two or three more conservative networks. No, that's not true. And it seems like he hadn't considered this obvious perspective, and also that overall the liberal news media swamps Fox. But Fox is still influential beyond their numbers because let's say that they got 25% of the TV news audience, they probably get 35% of influential viewers, like congressmen, governors, columnists, and so on. So their influence exceeds their ratings share. And that's cool. And I think that's similar to Bob Inyart Live, how we've been on the air for 20 years, and we've got a number of other talk show hosts and columnists and authors of books, popular authors, actors, musicians, all kinds of people who will tune in from around the country, filmmakers, and they'll get our podcast. The average Bob and Yurt Live radio program is downloaded about 2,000 times. And so there's 250 shows a year. So 250 shows a year, you know, that's a lot of programming going out that people are considering all over the country and around the world. It's about 500,000 downloads per year where people are considering a biblical perspective. And so what's the Bob and Yurt Live share of the audience, right? It's a fraction, but I think that, and I'm thankful to the Lord and to our audience, that we have a greater influence than our numbers would suggest. Like literally, filmmakers, full-time activists, pastors, authors, tuning in, trying to understand, and then we'll get Bob and Yurt Live arguments popping up on shows around the country. One of the more obvious examples was, I'll give a Pat Robertson example on the 700 Club. It was sort of sad. A young gal in the audience, he opened it up for questions, and she asked on live TV, as Christians, should we support the death penalty? And we have a video, a best-selling video, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. And if you Google three words, God, death, penalty, out of millions of pages, we're probably on the first page, and we're probably number one. We've been there for a decade. And so Pat Robertson was asked, should Christians support the death penalty? And he said yes, because he's a Republican. That's it. That's why he said yes. I mean, the correct answer is yes, but he doesn't know why. So he said, oh, yes, we should support the death penalty. He said, because in the Bible, the New Testament says, well, I'm gonna repeat verbatim what Pat Robertson did on the air, on live TV all over the country. This is what he did. Okay, now our producer brought in a tape of this 700 Club episode, and the whole crew, we watched it and were sort of shocked. But this is what he did. He said, yes, we should support the death penalty because in the Bible, the New Testament says, well, the Old Testament teaches the death penalty, and the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it's very clear in the Old Testament that God commands the death penalty. And in the New Testament, you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I don't know much about it, about that, but yes, the Bible says we should support the death penalty. It was a meltdown of credibility. And so we mentioned that on this show, Bob and Yurt Live, this is a few years back, and some of our audience members sent our God and the Death Penalty DVD to the 700 Club, Christian Broadcasting Network, and undoubtedly people mailed our, we have a pamphlet, God and the Death Penalty, and online, the article online at kgov.com, just click on writings. And the topic came up about a half a year later, and a half a year later, Pat Robertson was asked about the death penalty, and he nailed it, every verse out of the New Testament, one after another, just nailing them, exactly why Christians should support the death penalty. And then our phones ran off the hook and people said, Bob, Pat Robertson watched your death penalty video. And so we're thankful that we have this opportunity, like Jim Gromer, who sent this email and saying, what a shame that we use our radio show to tell people not to vote for Ken Buck. And he probably doesn't understand. He's a little insulting in his email. But the bad news is Michael Bennett won. The good news is that Ken Buck lost. That's the good news, because my child killer is never better than their child killer. The closer someone is to me or my position, the worse it is if they support the killing of innocent children. So the Christian who has an affair is worse than the atheist who has an affair. And the pro-life leader who says he'll put pro-choice judges on the Supreme Court, he's worse than a pro-abortion leader who says the same. And I don't know if Jim has considered that. Which is worse, the wolf or the wolf in sheep's clothing? Which is worse? Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. In Littleton, Gordon, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing great, sir. What's up?
Great. Hey, first, I'm going to talk about the Fox deal that you were just bringing up. But
yeah.
First, I want to say that I have seen your Death Penalty video, and it's absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend it to everybody. And good for Pat Robertson if he was wise enough to use that as his research material.
Yeah, and Gordon, thank you for that encouragement. It's a little weird. You know, a lot of talk show hosts have people on the air with them all the time. And often when I'm the only one in the studio, if Doug McBurney's not here, Joe Scott, and so on, it's, you know, plugging your own materials is awkward. But when we put out a resource, we look throughout the internet, around the world, we see what's available on the internet, and we say, can we do better than what's out there supporting the death penalty? Can we? And if we can't, why do it? But if we can, we do it. We package it up. You could download it, get the DVD, get the audio, get the article online. And so in that way, we try to improve the training of the body of Christ.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job of that. In fact, my favorites are still the plot and Mount Moriah, and then right with that is Focus on the Strategy and the Death Penalty.
Those are
all just absolutely fantastic.
Wow, Gordon, I'll give you 10 minutes to cut that out. Hey, Gordon, I got an email here. No, this is a handwritten letter from someone in prison in Crowley, Colorado. This was just handed to me before showtime, and it's real short. Dear Bob, I am an inmate in Crowley, Colorado. I don't know what prison is there. Do you know, Gordon?
That's just part of DOC. They have a bunch of little satellite prisons all around there.
Department of Corrections, okay.
Right, uh-huh.
Down near, outside of Canyon City?
Right, exactly.
Okay. I ran across a book you wrote called The Plot. I was only able to read about 4 pages because the inmate that it belonged to was moved. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I would be so very grateful if you could send me a copy. I'm only making $4.32 a month. So it's hard to make a contribution. If you could, please send me a copy. I just got that. And, you know, Gordon, when people in jail try to tug on your heartstrings and ask for $100 for a color TV, I don't send it.
No.
But this is something I think we could send to Wayne Tullis. And, you know, he's probably a terrible criminal being in jail, but there's hope for him.
Yeah, there is, and you never know, he might not be so terrible. Plus, after he reads the plot, he might really not be so terrible.
All right. Well, thank you for all that,
hey,
Gordon.
Also, with Ken Buck, absolutely. It's good that he did not make it. It's sad that Bennett did, but
yeah.
We're very glad that Ken Buck didn't. Okay, now to Fox News. I have one little thing to take up with you there, because Fox News, of course, is marginally conservative or... they're quasi-conservative.
Yeah,
and
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, they're about the amount of conservativeness as the majority of the conservatives in America, probably.
Yeah.
I would think. They're
not
Christian conservative,
no.
But they're slightly. So now, you brought up the point that they don't have that high of a rating as ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that's true, but they're not on the cheaper, free medium that those other ones are. When you were on you were on TV, your audience was way bigger, don't you think?
Way bigger than it is now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, we had about 80,000 nightly listeners, viewers.
Right, which is how I found you, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so you had a much easier way to reach people. In fact, if you could be on TV now with the internet and radio too, think how huge everything would grow. I mean, it would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But my only argument is that Fox News, if it had the equal of itself on
everywhere
TV,
else. Yeah, right. Well, what percentage? Okay, that's a very good point. They'd have a bigger audience.
Right. I think they might be able to compete because they're not super conservative. If they were really hardcore Christian conservative, they wouldn't have that good of an audience.
Well, and like Bill O'Reilly, he's their standard bearer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, you know, now he's being challenged by Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck came out. He said homosexual marriage is none of our business. The government should stay out of it. And he said he would vote against personhood anywhere in the country. That's because he's Mormon, and the Mormon Church on their official website, they list five exceptions for abortion. They say the unborn child is a person, but you could kill him or her for all these reasons, which is a great tragedy. But think of Bill O'Reilly. He's pro-choice. Now, he does criticize late-term abortionists like George Tiller and Warren Herman Boulder, but he's pro-choice. He's anti-death penalty. He's pro-evolution from animals. He's anti-spanking. He says the Old Testament is allegorical. He's pro-homosexual adoption, pro-civil unions, pro-homosexual rights. He's pro-public schools. He's the author of tawdry sex scenes in his novels. So when you say they're nominally conservative, I agree. They're typical. They're typical.
One of the few things I totally agreed with Bill O'Reilly with was one day when somebody said, well, yeah, you think that because you're a conservative. And he said, I'm not a conservative.
Yeah, right.
I go, wow, Bill's telling the truth. He's not spinning it at all.
Yeah, right. His lips were moving and he was telling the truth. Something to write home. Okay, but yeah, you're right. Now, what percentage of households is Fox News available at? What is their market penetration for availability? I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
Yeah, but no, you're right. That's a good point. I agree completely.
Well, you take care, Bob, and thanks so much for all your guys' hard work on pushing the personhood amendment. And next time, that's the path.
Next time, we press on for the Lord and the innocent. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate that. It's so funny when people think Bill O'Reilly is a conservative because of how he answers. Like when they ask Sarah Palin, would you outlaw abortion even for rape and incest? And she says, I would not have an abortion. I'm personally against abortion. That's what she says. Now, she didn't answer their question. That'd be like asking somebody during slavery, would you ban the slave trade? And they answered, I would personally not buy a slave. They didn't answer the question. But when that happens with Sarah Palin and all the mainstream media, ABC, NBC, the New York Times, everybody, they don't follow up. They don't say, you didn't answer the question, Sarah. Would you ban abortion? Because I don't think she's ever made any effort at all to ban abortion, but she did appoint a Planned Parenthood board member to the Alaska Supreme Court, and she praised her wisdom and experience as being a huge blessing for the state of Alaska. And you can find that at prolifeprofiles.com. Just click on Sarah Palin's face, and it's not her face full on. It's her face in profile, sketched by an American Right to Life artist, because it's pro-life profile, so you see the profile of every person you look at. It's very interesting. Like, you can look at Billy Graham. A Christian leader, a major Christian leader yesterday, told me that he was shocked by the Billy Graham profile. Just shocked to see what Billy Graham wrote in his own hand. Shocked. About handicapped children, it's okay to kill them, and on and on and on. Shocked. So anyway, the pro-life profile of Sarah Palin, it points out that she even praised the Planned Parenthood board member she put on the Alaska Supreme Court. And then when we published that profile, within 24 hours, Sarah Palin, they scrubbed her official website. They took all that material down. And the secular media reported on this around the country. And so they took it down, and American Right to Life put it right back up because they had archives of everything. So they took it down, and American Right to Life put it back up. And what Sarah Palin should have said was, I was wrong to put a Planned Parenthood board member on the Alaska Supreme Court. I was wrong to praise her wisdom and experience. That's what she should have done, but she's a typical Bush-style, McCain-style Republican politician who lusts for power. And so she tries to do a cover-up of her own statements on this Planned Parenthood board member. And so that's what we're up against. So people think Fox is conservative because they think Sarah Palin is pro-life. And Sarah Palin's not pro-life. And so when she answers, I would not personally have an abortion, the media doesn't follow up. Why not? They don't want to. Because they think their best argument against Sarah Palin is that she's a pro-life extremist. So they want the public to think that Sarah Palin would ban all abortion. When in reality, if you work to get Sarah Palin to be president, she'll do what George H.W. Bush did and George W. Bush did, and she'll put pro-abortion judges on the U.S. Supreme Court, and she'll be proud of the pro-abortion judges she put on the court. And Jim Gromer, who sent me this email, he'd be confused. He said, I work so hard to get Republicans in the Senate and in the presidency, and I tell people I'm pro-life, and we won thousands of elections during my life, we Republicans, and the courts are filled with pro-abortion judges. What's happening? And we'd say, Jim, they told you they'd put pro-abortion judges on the courts. And he'd say, no, they said they were pro-life. No, actually, George W. Bush, his very first campaign promise, I know, I remember, was that he would appoint pro-choice judges. That was the first one. And the pro-life industry, if you don't know what the pro-life industry is, just go to American Right to Life, click on industry, or type in AmericanRTL.org/industry, and you'll see. And the pro-life industry gets a lot of money, as in tens of millions of dollars a year, money and influence by promoting pro-choice Republicans who say they're pro-life. Let's go to Aurora. Ray, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. Good to get on the air here.
Yeah, you're welcome. What's up, sir?
There's something I don't understand about our senator that we were talking about.
Yeah, Ken Buck or Michael Bennett? Which one?
Ken Buck.
All right.
It seems to me that on a dozen different issues, Ken Buck is right on most of them. But on abortion, he's wrong. But we have to try to deal with deficit and jobs and everything else as well. So
all right.
How is it better for William Bennett to be elected?
Okay, great question. Ray, would you support a conservative, if he's a conservative generally, but you found out that he was a racist, would you support him?
I guess I would.
That's pretty bad, Ray. Because of that, what you will do is destroy what you think of as the conservative movement. If you would put a racist, somebody who has a hatred and apathy for people because they're a different skin color, if you say, well, I want low taxes, so I'm so selfish that I want a better standard of living that I'd support a racist. But Ray, I actually don't believe you would. I don't think you would. Now, there are a lot of racists in the country, but I don't think you would publicly support someone if it came out that they were a racist. I don't think you would. I think you lied to win an argument.
Well, Bennett is also an abortionist, so how do I gain anything?
All right, now wait a minute. Let's say the Republic. Did you vote for Dan Mays?
No.
Well, you didn't. You threw away your vote?
Well,
why didn't you vote for Dan Mays? You put Hickenlooper in office.
Oh.
You see, Ray, you see how easy it is to confuse people who don't base their actions on principles? God's principles of right and wrong are simple, so simple a child can understand them. And you can't get tripped up when you do what is right. You get tripped up and confused when you try to outsmart God, outsmart history, and say, I'm going to think this through, and I'm going to make calculations, and I'm going to vote for a racist who will kill children because I'll get lower taxes. In reality, what you get is you get a nation that is crumbling. And that's what the Republicans have given us. Ray, when Ken Buck said he was against tax-funded abortion, read my lips, right? Remember when George Bush said no new taxes? He said, read my lips, no nude Texans. He said no nude Texans, and the conservatives thought he said no new taxes. In other words, he was lying to us. and he gave us the greatest tax increases in the history of the nation, and he gave us the greatest spending deficit in the history of the nation till his time. And so then his son came along, and he said, I'm against tax-funded abortion. And you, do you know how much he gave to Planned Parenthood, the nation's number one abortionist? He gave hundreds of millions of dollars more than Bill Clinton was able to give them in 8 years. And that's the kind of politician Ken Buck is. I'm against tax-funded abortions. Even on that, he's a liar, because he would vote to approve a Republican president's budget even when it included hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, because he's a coward who wants power and influence.
I see.
So, Ray, go ahead.
So the moral issue has got to trump every other issue.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Saying?
Do not murder trumps thou shalt not steal.
I see.
If somebody's trying to kill your child, you'll take help even from a thief. Even from a thief. But if somebody's trying to steal money from you, you don't want help from a murderer.
I see.
Hey, Ray, thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate you. We never finished Jim Gromer's email. Maybe we'll get to that on Monday. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll do a Real Science Friday. And looking forward to next week. God bless you guys. KGOV.com.